Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Forward Church. Listen, I'm so glad you tuned in to today's podcast. I hope it challenges you and inspires you to go after God and be all that God's called you to be. Enjoy today's message. Well, if you brought your Bibles this evening, go with me to the book of Hebrews. Glad you're here tonight. It's going to be a great night. Hebrews chapter 12. And make sure you have something to write with, because I'm going to give you four very important points tonight that is going to thrust you in the race that God has called you to. Hebrews chapter 12, and this will be the New King James Version this evening. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this: "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Everybody say, lay aside. Put it away. Put it away. There you go. "And the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down now at the right hand of the throne of God." Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I ask in the name of Jesus, God, that you would anoint my lips, anoint my heart and my head, God, that your word would go forth tonight and it would change lives. God, before we leave this place, may we feel closer to you, may we know you more, may we see you clearly and have the desire to become more like your son, Jesus, in this place tonight. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So the question I have for you tonight is this: have you ever had one of those weeks where you've had some pretty important things that you've had to do, that you had to get done, but there were so many interruptions? Don't look at your spouse. I know that you're quick to go, "That my interruption is right here." You prayed for that spouse. Bless God. So many interruptions and so much going on around you, making it almost impossible to accomplish your goals. Anybody in the house? Some of y'all saying, that's my daily life. Like every week, that's what I face every day when I wake up, is those things. So what we're talking about tonight is distractions. Everybody say distractions. And we just read in Hebrews that we're to lay aside every weight. And then we know the verse where it talks about setting aside sin and all those things. But tonight we're going to talk about the weight, okay? And weight can also mean anything you're carrying that you're not supposed to. I call those distractions. Again, say that word with me. Say distractions. The definition of distraction is anything that prevents you and I from giving our full attention. Say full attention. We were at supper tonight, and Taryn came over from Gainesville to have supper with us, and she was at the table, and she sat down, and the first thing she did was went to her phone. And I remember her mama said real clearly, "Be with us right here, like right now. Be with us." So if you're like me, that when you think distraction, especially in the 21st century, this can be easily, just because it's great doesn't mean that it can't be used to distract you from what you're trying to accomplish. And everybody in the house said, "Oh, me." Oh, come on now. Y'all know good and well, there's some lots of things y'all be trying to do. And even when I'm trying to prepare for a message, this thing will go off. People start texting. People start calling. And you got to answer because they get offended, because they're like, "Well, he ain't doing anything else. He's just sitting at the house eating bonbons." I'm just saying that's the theory. I don't understand. So you got to stop. But this thing, as good as it can be to help communicate, it can also be the greatest distraction in our life. And the church says amen. So right off the top, you know, again, we're thinking about cell phones. You think about Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat and all these social media things. You know, you can almost live off this phone. This thing can do almost everything for you except help you breathe. I mean, it can send your wife a text. I can say, "Send my baby." However, I have when Amy calls, it says "my baby" on there. So I'll say to Siri, "Siri, I got to be careful because she'll start doing it now." She's just real dedicated. If I call her name, she comes right to the scene. If I can just get Amy to respond to me like that, when I say Amy, you know. Okay, anyway. See, Amy is in the next room. She probably won't even listen to podcasts, so we good. So anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. So I can say, "Send my baby a text," and she'll do it. You can order food on this. And then you can actually call up another service that will actually go pick the food up for you and bring it here, all from the comfort of your cell phone. It's incredible. You can buy a car now on here. You don't even have to go to the car lot. It can be delivered to you. You can call Uber. You can get a ride. You can do almost everything on this phone. Very distracting. Everybody say distractions. The TV, the radio. Let me just say this. Even seemingly innocent opportunities, everybody say opportunities, can get you distracted from what you're supposed to be doing. Even, because not every opportunity is a God opportunity. Maybe you want to write that down, because some of y'all, I know I needed that. I wrote that down later this afternoon. Not every opportunity is a God opportunity. I've actually watched people walk in and out of the church to go to another church because of opportunity. Just because you can doesn't mean you ought to. Just because you can do it and get away with it doesn't mean that it's okay. There's not consequences. I'm just talking to me tonight, I guess, God. I thought there would be some people in the room that you were trying to speak to tonight, but maybe it's just me that needed this tonight. Because opportunities can quickly, I'm just trying to have fun, that's all. Just laugh with me. Don't be getting offended and stuff. Say no offense. Amen. Opportunities can quickly distract you from your obligation. I'm thinking about people who are married right now. Opportunities can distract you from your obligations. What seemingly innocent opportunities, like conversations, can be a distraction. I mean, I can be preparing something or in the zone, and my wife come in and want to talk. Any husbands in the house know what I'm saying? You're like in the zone, and I have this. I get in trouble for it a lot, but like if I'm in the middle of a text and they come in and want to start talking, I will go over top of them and start reading my text so they'll know daddy's doing something. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like me and Cole walks in the room and I'm texting and Cole says, "Hey Bradley," and I'll be like, "And so anyway, what I was saying was," I'll say that under my breath so that it's just for you to know subliminally, be quiet. Anybody else do that? y'all be like, "Not me. I'm perfect." Okay. But conversations, I'm talking about distractions. I'm trying not to stay right here, but unprioritized goals. It's good to have goals. I'm just trying to hit a few to help draw you to what can be distractions in your life, because some of you be like, "Well, maybe that was a distraction," but there are more distractions. There are more things keeping you from where God wants you to be with you individually and you corporately with the church and you also with your family. There's places and things that God wants each one of us to do, and it's distractions that the enemy works overtime to do to get you off course. Everybody say off course. I was thinking today, and I had to run out of the room and write this down, but I was thinking that distraction is a thief. Distraction will rob your time. It'll rob your energy. It'll rob your resources. It'll rob your money. It'll rob your motivation. Distraction will also rob your joy. Distraction is a thief. And if we don't get it under control, it can literally kill you. It may not take your life, but it will take life out of you. Everybody say distractions. I like to refer to distractions and the things that I just shared with you, whether it's Facebook, all those things. I like to refer to them as weapons of mass distraction, which ultimately is weapons of mass destruction. That's what the enemy wants to do. He is out to destroy your life, your family, the church that you attend. The enemy would love nothing more than to watch everything in your life crumble. Or matter of fact, for you just to walk away from commitments and obligations and just walk away and no longer, he's not even worried about what you're doing then, as long as you're not pursuing Christ. Everybody say, pursue Christ. The enemy will do everything in his power, because unattended, you might want to write this down, unattended distractions can lead to mass destruction. If you don't give attention, if you don't give attention to that distraction, if you don't put the distraction in its place and lower it, it will have catastrophic proportions. It can just destroy your life. I've always heard this said, that if the enemy can't destroy you, he'll distract you. If the enemy can't destroy you, he'll just try to distract you. I want to speak to you tonight for just a few moments from this simple subject: living life focused. Living life focused. I don't know about you, but it's the worst feeling in the world to know you've got an agenda or things to do, and all distractions, everything else is trying to come against you achieving that goal. Listen, we can't afford to be distracted. Time is of the essence. I say it all the time. Your soul is up for grabs. If we could peel back the heavenly realm tonight and see how the enemy is working overtime to distract you and to destroy you. A lot of times we think it's just life, and sometimes life just does just happen, but the enemy will also insert things into our life to destroy us. A lot of times, I'm the reason for the distraction. Now, I'm just going to be transparent with me. Y'all can look holy and pious, and or you can say, hey, that might be me too. But any multitaskers in the house? Wow. We're great, right? This, and I actually take pride in multitasking. Like, because I don't have the luxury of going to a church office, we don't have that yet, but we're going to have that one day. So my office is at the house, and I work and I study at the house. But I try to be real cool, and while I'm doing a message, I'm trying to, like, wash clothes and undo the dishwasher. See, y'all thought I was just eating bonbons. I'm like daddy taking care. I'm daddy daycare. I'm doing all that stuff at the house. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to do all that and be on top of it. But how many knows that's a distraction from what God? And I'm telling you, it's crazy. But yet I'm proud of myself because I'm trying to take on all this and get it all done. At the end of the day, go, oh, you know, Tarzan, oh, I did it all. But really, if I were to focus more on what God wanted instead of being distracted for all these things, again, maybe I'm just talking to me tonight. You know, you go to work and you trying to do all this. Focus on one task at a time. Amen. And I'm talking to me all day long. Because, and it's hard because I like to be a multitasker. But this is what I wrote down. It kind when you become a multitasker, it basically levels the playing field and everything takes on the same level of priority in that moment. Like, the word is important, but when I start trying to unload the dishwasher and fold clothes and undo the and keep everything going, basically I dropped everything down to the same, it all gets the same attention. But how many knows there's things by God's will for our life that should be more important? Amen. But what happens is we lose sight of what's really important. And let me say this about losing sight. When we lose sight of the goal or the mission, we can quickly forget the value and the worth of a thing. When we lose sight of something, when I lose sight of my marriage, I'm talking to married couples right now. When I lose sight of my marriage, what were some of the words I said back 16 years ago when Amy and I were at the altar? I said, To love you and to cherish you in good times and bad, and when we have a lot and when we have nothing, I'm still going to love you, right? But the line that got me was to love my wife as Christ loved the church. But if I get distracted from the mission of loving my wife like Christ loves the church, I begin to decrease her value and worth, and I didn't even know it. And then you start inserting issues and problems in your marriage because when you lose, when it no longer has a value or worth, well, then you got problems, right? Okay, so you can insert that in anything. Any area that is a mission for you or a goal for you, if you begin to take it for granted, you'll quickly get unfaithful. And you will also, if you become distracted from the goal or the mission, you will also decrease its value and worth. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Okay. Also, when we lose sight, the alternative is to simply give up. When we lose sight of the mission, I mean, I've watched pastors for years lose sight of the mission, and they either walk away from ministry, or matter of fact, they just start trying to take the church on a different journey of what they're really supposed to be doing. They would rather build up the bank account of the church rather than reach lost people. I believe that the church There should not be any want or lack or need in the church. But when building that becomes so that I can go to a conference and then tell everybody sitting around the table, well, we've got this many people in our church and this is what our bank account. Look, I remember when we first moved here, there's a local pastor in this church, in this town, that began sharing information with me that I really didn't ask for, about how big the church is and how big the bank account is and what he's done for the, all that's great. But how many lost people have you brought to Jesus? Huh? I was just like, dude, bro, I don't care what your salary is. Praise God. I believe that a workman's worthy of his hire. but there was an ulterior motive behind what he was trying to unfold to me. I'll keep my opinion to myself of what I really thought was going on, but it was a distraction. It's a distraction. When you get distracted from the mission, you'll forget the value and worth of a thing. And let me tell you something. The body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not an operating wheel where you just bring in income and just sit on it. It's not about that. It's about reaching people who are far from God. Because at one time it was me. I was far from God. And if I get distracted, I can also get right back there. See, preachers and people in church think, well, if I've been in this thing long enough, nothing's going to happen to me. No, if you become distracted, the enemy will insert all kinds of issues and problems in your marriage, in your home, in the ministry, and it'll be no more. He'll dissolve all of it. Multitasking. Listen, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. It's going to be 24 through 27. This is the Message translation. I wanted you to hear it this way. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, but only one wins. Run to win. Good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not gonna get caught up napping, telling everyone else about it, and then missing out myself. Listen, I can't be up here and asking God to help me to feed you if I'm not willing to allow him to feed me at the same time. I don't know what you come to church to do, but I hope it's to grow. When you go to a restaurant, you go to get full. When you come to church, if your spirit is empty, I hope that it gets full. But if you came in full, then guess what you need to do? You need to serve. You need to give. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you need to give of your energy to help other people who might be in the ditch in that season of their life. Amen? So don't just come in and sit on a pew. Thank God we ain't got those. We got nice, comfy chairs with AC. Do y'all know there's people meeting somewhere in the world tonight on a garbage heap with no AC? I'm talking about there's people who are okay with coming to a church to be the church, but all they got, they don't have a building. They just out in the rain. I remember being in Haiti years ago, my very first mission trip, and seeing people walk. They told us they walked 2 hours to be, and all it was a garbage heap, and it stunk. Y'all know what it smells like when y'all go out to the landfill? Thank you. And we live in Florida and it's real hot. Y'all know what that smells like? Imagine that. There's no tractors, dumping dirt over on top of it to suppress the smell. No, it's just out there for everybody. These people, they weren't worried about if it was raining. All they know was, my life is a wreck. And I need help and I need Jesus. And that's what our goal and that's our mission. And we got to remove distractions so that we understand there is a lost and dying world. There's people in our city that are going to hell and their marriages are a wreck. Their lives are a wreck. And unless we step up to the plate and go, you don't have to live that way. Here's the one that can straighten everything out. Just surrender to him. That's our mission. Y'all missed a good time to give Jesus like 30 seconds of praise or something right there. My Lord, I'm preaching more than y'all letting on tonight. I'm spitting all over myself. I guess that's why everybody moved off the front row. What he was saying, basically what he was saying was this. Don't just run to run. Run to win. Nobody gets married and goes, well, I hope this works out. No, no, no. I get married to say it's going to work out and it's going to be sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I think that was a hymn way back in the da 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 between the Lord and I or Amy and I or whatever. I mean, but it's true. Whatever you set out to do, you should set out with a goal that it's going to be successful and I want God to be all over whatever that is. So don't just run to win. Listen, don't just come to church to come to church. Come to encounter God. Don't come to church just to go back to living a dead-end life, man. Come to church so you can go out and have life and life more abundantly. If God said, I've come so that you can have life more abundantly, why would we settle for anything less? It's called living a disciplined life. That's how you get removed distractions, by becoming disciplined. That's why it's so hard, because nobody wants to be disciplined. Nobody wants to be held accountable. God, you put me down here. I'm just going to casually skip to the loo, my darling, and whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. That's how a lot of Christians live life. I don't want to live that way. I don't believe he called me to live that way. He called me to live a disciplined life. He called me to live a life where I'm destroying distractions. In order to live a life focused, we must become disciplined. Disciplined in our finances. Disciplined in our lifestyle. Disciplined in our decisions. Come on, I know I'm hitting, got to be hitting somebody between the eyes. We got to be disciplined in our decisions, in our decision making. Should I date him? Should I date her? Should I take my family to watch this movie? Should we be a part of this? Should we be hanging out with them? Should I walk to the break table knowing that those people are there causing all kinds of drama? Or should I go find another place? Yeah, but I want friends. Well, who cares? Get friends and still die and go to hell. Yeah, but I'm saved. That's not going to happen. No, that's a distraction. That's a distraction. God, they ain't going to love me when this night's over with. It's true. I just want to see you win. And the cool thing about it is when we're all looking to remove distractions, I'll start seeing distractions in your life. And as you start making your way down that journey, if I see, I'm going to run out in front of Janelle and be like, no, push that over, out of the way. She didn't even know it was going to be a distraction. That's because somebody was looking out for it. That's what we're called to do. It's not the pastor's job. It's not the elder's job. It's not the deacon's job. It's not anybody's job. It's all of our jobs to help. Amen. Remove distractions. Everybody say remove distractions. Now, I don't just remove them, destroy them. Because if you remove them, they got a tendency to come back around. Destroy distractions. Destroy distractions. Listen, if you live a focused and a deliberate lifestyle, you will walk into your God-given potential. When you walk around distracted, you're never going to fulfill anything that God has called you to do. You might just run into one, bump into one, but if you deliberately live your life with purpose, removing distractions, you won't just casually, baby, blessings and favor will just fall. I just believe we're called to live a life fulfilled as we focus. Amen? Okay, so tonight, in the next 10 minutes, and I might not even have to ask for five more. That'd be a miracle, won't it? I want to give you four things that you can apply to your lives that will help you live a life focused. If you got something, find something to write this down. Get a tithe envelope and write it. We'll replenish the chairs. Just get something. Number one, how do I live a life focused? Number one, here it is. Live sincere. Live sincere. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1 and hit verse 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3. New King James Version, here we go. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above instead of going to the break table and getting caught up in all that drama. Oh, that was B's version. Set your minds on things above, not on things of this earth. I try to tell you, it's the break table. That's where the flesh comes out. If you know it's true, say amen. Okay, I feel better now. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Now scroll on down to verse 22 of chapter 3. And it says this, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. Everybody say eye service. I'm coming at you, hold on. Eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity. That's what we just said. Live sincere. Don't be fake. Don't be doing that. But in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. What he's saying is this, be sincere with authenticity. Be sincere and be genuine. I don't like, I can always, especially if you walk with Christ on a daily basis, he will tune your spirit in, and you can tell, your radar start going off when you come across somebody who's being disingenuous. They're saying one thing for lip service, but you know good and well they talking about you behind your back. Anybody else in here? Let me say that again. You know good and well that when somebody comes up to you with that smile on their face and, oh, brother, we love you, there's something your spirit knows. They got it out for you. Okay. You know good and well. Come on now. Yeah, yeah. It's true. But see, God didn't call us to fight fire with fire. God, when that happens, that's when you turn on the authenticity of Christ's love. That's when you come full frontal and just bathe them in the love of God. That's what you do. And let me tell you, that ain't always easy, because your flesh wants to jump right back in it and call a brother out. Bro, I know, but you sat in the back of the church and talked about me. But you wanna love on me and talk to me in front of people in public. No, that's when you just turn. You don't be fake. You just say, God, I need you right now. I need your love to flow through me so that it is so genuine that it will change. Because it's Christ that changes a jacked up life and a jacked up heart and a heart that's got full of all kinds of motives that want to see you fail. It's the love of Christ. It's not what I can do, because if I just show up, I'm gonna have my way and it's gonna be ugly. I need Jesus to come on the scene. Amen. Because it was Jesus that changed my life. When I was unlovable, it was Jesus that said, it's okay, I accept you how you are, but walk with me and talk with me, and I'm going to change your heart from the inside out. Amen? Hallelujah. So he said, don't have eye service. What is eye service? Eye service is, I can do things because they look good, sound good, they have the appearance of good, but I got something else going on in my heart about you. That's eye service. Okay, let me break it down this way. Eye service is, I make my boss think that I'm working hard, but when he turns away, let me move away from that one. I fake those people out, thinking, making them think that I like them, but I'm concealing something else in my heart. Psalms 55:21 says this, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were like drawn swords. What's the Bible saying? It's talking about saying one thing but feeling another. We're talking about distractions. I'm giving you eye service, but there's war in my heart. Listen, the enemy will always try to put a wedge between your heart and your head. Anybody know what a wedge is? We put wedges in the doors to help prop them open. What's a door supposed to? It's supposed to close and open it. But the enemy will use a wedge between your heart and your head, because it understands that out of your heart, that's where the direction of your life flows, whatever's going on in here. But when these two can't function right and this one gets suppressed, then all you're thinking about is your head. How many knows our head will lead us in all kinds of jacked up places and to a jacked up life? I like that word, but it's true. That's the only way I can describe me without Christ. Jacked up. Jacked up. Listen, don't allow the enemy to rob you by dropping a wedge between your heart and your head. Listen, when there's a wedge in place, it may look good, it may sound good, it may have the appearance of good, but war is in your heart. Why? Because your heart has a heart after God, but when there's a wedge there, then your heart becomes frustrated. Frustration is also a form of distraction, because I don't know about you, but it's hard to try to even reach for my goal when I'm frustrated. Frustration is a distraction. I know I got to be talking to some people in here that get frustrated on a daily basis. I know I do. Customers coming in complaining or this, that, and the other. And I could just come sit down with you right now and just say, tell me about. So y'all know what I'm talking about. Frustration is a distraction. Don't give people the power to frustrate you, because all you're doing is giving the enemy a tool and a way into your life to destroy you. He's not trying to just distract you. He's trying to destroy you. But if he can't destroy you, he'll distract you. That's why we read in Proverbs 4:23. I don't think it's going to be on the screen, but it says, above all else, guard your heart. That's why. Why? Because your life is determined by what's going on in your heart. So what he's saying is this: don't be that kind of person. Be sincere. Be genuine. That's why lost people won't come to the church. Come to any church. Lots of churches. Why? Because they've showed up. And y'all hear me say it all the time, we've jacked that up, or we've messed up the interpretation of who Christ is. Yeah, because they can read a fake and a phony just like that. If you're being disingenuous, if you're being genuine or authentic. I want people to know, you know what? My life ain't perfect. I lead worship. Sometimes I get the opportunity to minister the word, but I'm not perfect. You need clarification? Ask my wife. Thank God she's not in here tonight. Y'all be here a while. Not perfect. People need to know that being a Christian, you can't set the bar way up here and go, you got to come on up here. Think about that. Well, shoot, they know how jacked up their life is. If I can't get there, why would I even try? We want people just to, you know what, dude, you want to come in with holy jeans, come in with holy, you want to wear shorts, great. You want to come in with no shoes, Braxton tonight, no shoes, that's great. Mama forgot her shoes, praise the Lord. You come in however you want to. You had time to bathe, great. If you didn't, praise the Lord, just try to hit a bath before next Sunday, right? No, I'm being funny, but churches will look at people crazy because their hair's too long, they got tattoos, they smell like weed, they smell like brewery, alcohol, whatever. I want to be that way. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus was authentic, and Jesus, he made it happen. I was looking for a word, but he made it happen. He was successful in ministry. So what's the pattern already been laid out? Do it like Jesus. What would Jesus do? WWJD. I said I wasn't going to ask for five. Y'all just don't look at the clock, and I won't have to. So did I give you point number two? Point number two, live a life having a reverential fear of God. Or I put it, live with a fear of God. Now, strong Christians would be like, no. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You're absolutely right. He didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he does want you to have fear of him, a reverential fear. Because when we no longer fear him, then what he says is no longer important. And that's why the church just lives, does whatever they want to, because they don't really take him serious. See, when you forget the mission, you'll devalue a thing. Let me tell you something. Don't be trying to I would never devalue Jesus, God. Sure, you might not say it, but your lifestyle says something different. Proverbs 9:10 says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's why it's important to have a reverential fear of God. Translation: when you really fear God, you'll start being wise. You'll start doing wise things. You'll stop doing dumb things. Bradley Weber. When you have a reverential fear of God, when you have a fear of the Lord, you'll start governing your life out of wise decisions. Can I say that again? When you have a fear of God, you'll start governing your life, your marriage, everything you do. You'll start governing it with a wise mindset. And you'll actually start seeing things working out. Number three, live for God's approval. Live for God's approval. We just read a moment ago in Colossians 3 where it said, in everything you do, what? Do it for God. Do it for God. Listen, opportunities to serve, do it for God. Opportunities to serve, do it for God. Opportunities to help somebody through a difficult time, do it for God. It may be an inconvenience to you. Nobody may ever know. You may give somebody $10. We walked out of Publix the other day, and I never carry cash. I'm married. I can't keep cash. I got three girls. I can't keep cash. And this guy on the way out, and I felt he was sincere. You can always tell when they just need some cash to go get a six-pack. But I just knew there was something on the inside of him that needed, and I didn't have any money on me. And I had to say, I'm sorry, as I walked to my car with a buggy full of groceries. And Amy said, I think I got some cash. I said, we're loading the car, and I'm going to swing back around. You're going to jump out. And we gave him the money. And I heard her. Dude, I almost ripped crying. And she said the same thing. And I heard her. She said, Jesus loves you. God bless you. And it wasn't a lot, but it was something. Did anybody else see it? Nope. Do it for God. serving kids for God, take up offering for God, come to church early, help clean up the parking lot where our neighbors next door have a party over there winning money and drinking, and help pick stuff up. Do it for God. 90% of what I do isn't what you see up here. Let me tell you something. This ain't to brag on me, but I'm going to tell you this. It's bad enough cleaning your own toilet at the house. Come on, somebody. Anybody clean toilets at your house? It's another thing when you cleaning up a toilet that all y'all. But you know what? Nobody sees that. Do it for God. Not a paycheck. You do it for God. Whatever you do, do it for God. See, if you lose sight of the mission, it's to serve people. We learned that at the marriage conference. What is a perfect, what is it? Not perfect marriage. There is no. No, it's not a question, but we learned it. I was just looking at you because I was connecting. We learned it at the marriage conference. A successful marriage is two people serving each other. And not all the time I want to. And a lot of times the enemy, because I like to serve. I like to do stuff around the house. And a lot of that stuff Amy really don't care about. She really doesn't. She'll tell you. We talk about it all the time. And it really gets under my skin. I want to be appreciated for the little things that I do. She's like, see, I told y'all I'm a little crazy. I'm being way transparent tonight. And she like, it doesn't matter to me. And I'm like, okay, if it don't matter, I don't make the bed. I don't wash the clothes. I don't do none of that stuff. We'll see how long. But the problem is it drives me crazy. So I got to because I can't stand. So she's in a win-win. Right? There's medicine for that. I need to take it. There's medicine for that. Listen, whatever you do, I'm coming down. I'm not going to ask for it because I know you're going to say, go ahead. Whatever you do, do it for him. Do it for him. Do it for him. Don't let the enemy distract you and go, but nobody sees. Don't do it for the praise of man. Do it for the approval of God. Amen? Live for God's approval. The approval of man is a trap. It's a trap. A never-ending trap. You'll continually fall into it. When your complete focus is receiving God's approval, you begin turning down things that aren't good for your soul. I wrote that down, man, about blessing my own self. When your complete focus is receiving God's approval, you'll begin turning down all the other things that's not good for your soul. You'll start turning down those relationships. Why? Because they're not good for you. Number four, as the music softly plays. Knowing that God will reward you. Now, God's reward and man's reward looks a lot different. It's not about the increased bank account. It's not about driving the Lexus. It's not about having a 10-bedroom house with 13 bathrooms. Come on. That's man's approval. That's how man rewards. But what God rewards with is something that far outweighs and will supersede anything this world has to offer. Listen, and the reward isn't a life with no problems. The reward isn't a spouse that appreciates you for all you do. That's not the reward. Although that's nice. But when my focus is that, I become distracted, and then I become unfaithful to a thing. Let me tell you something. It's not even about the silliness of I folded your clothes and you didn't tell me thank you. That sounds so dumb, but can I tell you, that little small thing leads to something larger called two people in front of a judge, and there's an end in a marriage. That's what that little bitty thing of you don't appreciate. Somebody said, are y'all close? No, we good. We good. But I'm telling you, that's how the enemy, that's the trap. That is a trap. And that is a distraction out to destroy your home. Whew. I felt that. It's not a bigger bank account. It's not a mansion. No, our reward is that we don't die but have everlasting life with Jesus. That's our reward. That's our reward. Some of us have been looking for the wrong things. We've been looking for the wrong rewards. Why? How? We become distracted. The reward isn't a promotion. That's how man rewards you. Now, his favor will allow and line up things like that to happen. But don't think just because you didn't get... Listen, some of the most awesome prayers that God answers are unanswered prayers. I know y'all have heard that. That's not like some big thing. It's the truth. Just because you didn't get the promotion doesn't mean... Listen, God's got something bigger for you. I used to get tripped up on that all the time when people would come in from the outside of a company that I had given my life to for so long and thought I was next in line, was told I would be next in line. But because this dude goes to church with so-and-so and all this political garbage happened, he got runner-up. I was mad about it. I got mad at God. I ain't studying your word. You can't hook a brother up. You ain't got nothing for me. I ain't got no time for you. That too transparent for y'all? I know that's how y'all do. Things don't happen, cut him off. No, God gives us an inheritance because we are a son and a daughter of a king. I would rather have an inheritance than just a simple reward. Reward is temporal, but an inheritance belongs to me. There's no question about it. And tonight, as you're standing all over this room, I'm here to tell you, because if you are a son and daughter of the king, there is an inheritance for you who seek after him, who desire his will for your life. So what do? Live sincere, have a reverential fear of God, live for God's approval, not man's, and live knowing that God will reward everything we do. We do it for Jesus. We do it for the King. Everything we do. Every teddy bear we give out, every bicycle we sow into on Sunday mornings, and we may do something different this year. When people start expecting stuff, I want to change it up and do something different. Every teddy bear we give, every egg we purchase, all of that isn't for our, it's not just for the city, it's for God. It's so that other people can encounter Christ and have an inheritance, because I can't take it all myself and neither can you. We want to spread it out. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word tonight.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.